Ali C today.
Everything we're going to talk about here on America Tonight is centering around the State of the Union address. All of you grading Obama how you think he did on an A, B, C, D scale kind of thing. And just the reaction in general. We are always so thrilled to welcome Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News to our program. And right from the get-go, she was there. She saw what happened. Ellen, there were some interesting things, I think, that emerged that we could talk about. But first, I wanted to get your perceptions of what it was like afterwards. What was the crowd like? What was the mood like?
Well, both, it was interesting because it was actually much more subdued than usual. And when we talk to members afterwards, and I'm up at the Senate right now, people were a lot less angry. Now, there were a couple of members who used their BlackBerries and tweeted, and then, of course, we got some reaction from Speaker Boehner's office that these kind of investments were just going to break the budget and that kind of thing. So that was the usual. But when you actually talk to people, people sounded much more reasonable. And I would say the rhetoric went down from about an 8 to about a 4 or 5.
Yeah. He had some broad strokes, but he also threw out some interesting things, some zingers, like he vowed that he would veto any bill whatsoever with earmarks. And there was some reaction with him saying that. And, of course, you know that the whole pork discussion has been a big deal from the last Congress now heading into this Congress. So were you surprised to hear him say that just so vehemently, hey, veto any bill with earmarks?
Well, yes, particularly since I talked to Senator Lautenberg from New Jersey just a few minutes afterwards, and he said, I love earmarks. He said sometimes it's the only way to get a program noticed that's a good program. And I have to say, having watched earmarks go through in Congress on and off for many years, I'm pretty ambivalent about it. I think that they're bad, but I also think that they can be very good, and sometimes it's the only way to get an unusual program done and gotten through quickly without having to have a ton of debate.
Yeah. I would think another thing that probably got some reaction was when Obama brought up the fact of immigration, and a couple of different things about that. One about the children of illegals and that how they should be able to stay. They are pledging allegiance to our flag and all that sort of stuff. And also about the borders and that he would work with Republicans and Democrats on this. What if any reaction did you hear to that?
Well, I think actually people are sort of taking that's a pretty a middle ground kind of approach. And I talked to several liberal Democrats who actually felt that he was very much taking the middle ground. Now, some of the Republicans are not saying that. But in fact, he's not coming out terribly radical on that. And he didn't really mention much around climate change or cap and trade or any of the buzzwords that were going to get Republicans right out of their mind.
Yeah. The other thing was health insurance, talking about health insurance and the 1099 thing, the business deal about throwing that out. We can just agree to throw that out, and talked about freezing domestic spending also. And I know there was reaction to both of those. What did you hear?
Well, yes. A lot of the Democrats were very upset about the freezing of the spending. I talked to Maxine Waters and some other people, and they just don't see how it's possible. And then you see a lot of Republicans are saying he only wants to freeze, you know, $400 billion. That's $40 billion a year. That's really not a whole lot. Then other people are saying, well, he really wants to come back on the military, but that's where all the innovation comes from. So it really depends who you talk to and what came out of it.
Yeah. One last thing, Ellen, one thing he didn't mention, nothing about guns, nothing about gun control or gun issues or assaults, weapons or any of that kind of stuff. Nothing. Were you at all surprised?
I think the White House is going to be very, you're not going to find much from them on any of this. I think they're going to take a very quiet approach. The president has voted when he was in the Senate for the assault weapons ban, but I don't see that that's going to be percolating too quickly up in Congress.
Yeah, very well. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, as always, terrific job. Thanks for joining us on a very hectic night. Thanks.
Yes.
All right, so you heard us going back and forth there. Ellen now still at the Capitol, and there's lots of conversations and live shots and all that kind of stuff, reaction from the various parts of the State of the Union address. And we covered some of them, and I mentioned to her, of course, the broad brush brush strokes, rather. One of the big things was health care. I knew it would be mentioned at least a little bit, and the president spent a couple of minutes talking about health care. Here's a snippet from the State of the Union.
Let me be the first to say that anything can be improved. If you have ideas about how to improve this law by making care better or more affordable, I am eager to work with you. So I say to this chamber tonight, instead of refighting the battles of the last 2 years, let's fix what needs fixing and let's move forward.
All right, so Obama says let's fix what needs fixing and let's move forward. That's not a surprise because, remember, the House votes to repeal Harry Reid. The Senate majority leader doesn't even want the up and down vote. That's not going to happen. Realistically, completely trashing, throwing out health care, the Republican point of view, most likely isn't going to happen. So you hear how the president is saying he's willing to work, anything could be improved upon. He immediately said, forget the 1099 thing, because remember, so many with small businesses, 90% of the businesses in America are small businesses, and if you dealt with any kind of vendor where you paid them just $600, you'd have to fill out the crazy paperwork for that. And for most businesses, even a really, really small business, it could be an entrepreneurial internet business. You'll have lots of people like that, and you'll be chasing them down with the whole 1099 thing. So immediately, because that's an easy deal, that's easy to dispose of. Of course, nothing about the individual mandate. We know that there's the big lawsuit that's going on, and Judge Vinson in Pensacola is supposed to rule on that perhaps by next week, maybe the beginning of February. As all of you know, we are headed to Washington, D.C., and we're talking about health care. We're looking at it on all sides, getting the skinny on health care as it stands now, what ultimately can happen, what are the real facts and figures on health care, and we're looking at it from all angles, all angles. Some of the guests will be pro-health care, don't touch my health care now that it's passed. Others will be completely against the idea of health care. One of the people that we're talking to, I'm really excited about, is a guy named Dan Gaynor. And Dan looks at a lot of the facts and figures from the CBO and how the numbers don't match up and how this is traditionally how it plays out no matter who the president is, because whatever it is on the agenda, yeah, can you make those numbers kind of fit a little bit better? So anyway, we talked to him, and he shows us how the numbers completely don't add up. And then, as I mentioned, we're going to also talk to some other people who say it's just nothing but political maneuvering and scare tactics. So this is going to be a whole lot of fun going to the Capitol. I don't care about the snow. I think we can weather the storm. So how did the president do? If you had to give him a letter grade, what would the letter grade be for the speech? I'm going to talk about some highs and lows that I saw. We're also going to get reaction to the president's speech from the Republican point of view, both Michelle Bachmann, who really would be Tea Party point of view. It was all over the internet. Republican from Minnesota, as you know. And also Congressman Paul Ryan, the Republican from Wisconsin, who gave the official Republican response. So we've just started to scratch the surface here. We will get into some other things, too. It's not just all about Washington and the State of the Union. Trust me. Hang through, everybody.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also, also on super sale. Olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at herbalhealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at herbalhealer.com.
I'm Roger Rao at Midas Resources. If you are going through a financial roller coaster because of your investment in stocks, bonds, and other paper assets, perhaps you're ready for a change. You have an opportunity to change your financial security. Get the stability and peace of mind you deserve by investing in precious metals. Gold and silver have been a form of wealth protection for over 5,000 years all over the world. If you have seen your hard-earned money lose value because of inflation, sliding dollar, etc., it's time you stop the bleeding. The answer to your problems is simple. Gold and silver. Silver will protect your assets and your purchasing power, physical possession of precious metals, IRA rollover, etc. Call me, Roger Rao, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 178. Take action today when we are still accepting paper dollars for gold and silver. Ready for a change? Call Roger Rao at 1-800-686-2237, extension 178. Again, it's 1-800-686-2237, extension 178.
New year, new way to smoke, and it's totally wicked.
Introducing Totally Wicked e-liquid electronic cigarettes, the highest quality e-cigarettes in the world. With Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes, there's no flame, no secondhand smoke, no carbon monoxide, no tar, no unsightly brown teeth or fingers, and no lingering smell. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes have a battery charge that lasts up to 8 hours. Plus, with a Totally Wicked Tornado model, the average pack-a-day smoker is likely to save over $1,000 a year. The Totally Wicked Tornado provides a storm of vapor. See it at totallywicked-eliquid.com. That's totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. Get a 15% discount with promo code GCNLIVE. Go to totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. That's 888-761-9425. Or online at totallywicked-eliquid.com. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes. The next generation of alternative smoking.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those spots in between. We don't know the numbers yet, but there were a lot of people, I'm sure, watching the State of the Union address. One of the things that was mentioned when the president took a few minutes to talk about health care, he brought up pre-existing conditions and pointed out some people in the chambers, different people who had had severe operations and, you know, what it would cost and the cost of that. But there's mass confusion over coverage for pre-existing conditions already. And the fact that with this new health care law, guess what? You will be paying for everybody else's pre-existing conditions. That's the whole, remember, individually mandated. You'll have to do that. So welcoming to this show, we are going to pull into from our virtual green room Dr. Jane Orient, who has definite feelings on health care reform and, of course, pre-existing conditions. She can explain it even better than I can. Doc, thanks so much for taking some time out to join us on the air. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
What don't people realize about the pre-existing condition thing? Because initially you hear it and it sounds, oh, great, okay, so every pre-existing conditions, whew, thank goodness, because, you know, I was worried about that, jumping from job to job and everything else. But I think there's confusion over pre-existing conditions and the bill, how gigantic it would ultimately be because of this individually mandated deal that everybody has to have health insurance. Explain that.
Well, pre-existing conditions are not insurable. You can't buy insurance while your house is burning down or right after you've had a car wreck or right after you've had a major operation or diagnosis. Insurance is something you buy to voluntarily share risk of something that's not likely to happen but would be catastrophic if it did. So there certainly are some people who have a problem and that they've lost their job and they've lost their insurance, and they have to be underwritten, and they can't buy insurance at an affordable cost. there are a few million people like that. Most people don't have a problem with this because with employer insurance, it's not a problem. With Medicare and Medicaid, of course, it's not a problem. But there are a few people who are stuck. And the reason this really came about was because people have insurance tied to their jobs, which is really strange when you think about it. You don't get your life insurance or your car insurance or your homeowner's insurance attached to your job. And since people change jobs pretty often, then they are at risk of losing this very important employment benefit and having to be underwritten again when they change carriers.
Yeah, I agree with you, too, by the way. I don't think your insurance should be tied to your job. That's part of the problem. They need to get out of the business of insuring. It's a mess. That's what's become such a nightmare. So what are the things that happened that people don't understand, and this is something also that's been discussed, is the high-risk pools for the uninsurable. What do the high-risk pools do?
Well, these are state things. I think they exist in about 35 states, and the state will subsidize and force insurers to, you know, chip in something for people who cannot get insurance otherwise. And they do have to pay a higher premium, though. It may be $50 higher, it may be $100 a month higher than a comparable policy for a person who is not in a high-risk pool. See, the problem is if you say, okay, we're going to let you buy insurance when you have a pre-existing condition, people are going to say, well, gee, if I can buy it when I'm sick, why should I buy it ahead of time? But, you know, if you buy it when you're sick, the premium has to be really, really high, and nobody wants to pay the really, really high premium, so then you have to force them to buy the insurance, which gets into the individual mandate. I mean, what people don't realize is that we've already tried this in states like New York and New Jersey, and the monthly cost of health insurance is in the individual market is so huge that nobody can afford it. You know, $9,000 a month, something like that. Because if you say you can have guaranteed issue, you can get insurance after you're sick, and then we're going to spread the cost evenly over low-risk people as well, the price goes up and up and up.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And we see this already. Doc, there are people reporting all over the place that their premiums are going up double digits, 25%, that everything was okay. Now with all these changes, all of a sudden they're getting these bills, and the insurance companies are putting, of course, they're putting it back on the people they're insuring. I mean, this is ultimately, it seems backwards to me. If the idea was to make affordable health care, how is that affordable?
Well, it's not affordable, and if you load on all kinds of mandates about what additional things have to be covered, the price is going to go up. And said, well, we will make it affordable by not letting insurance company raise the price. Well, if they have to pay out all these claims and they can't raise the price, they're going to be insolvent, and so nobody's going to get their claims paid because the insurance company's bankrupt. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just a crazy upside-down, backwards way of trying to fix some problems in the system by just blowing the whole system apart.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dr. Jane Oren. She's the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. What do your colleagues say about Obama's health care law?
Well, a lot of them are saying that they can't afford to stay in business because the doctors are going to have all of these new requirements. They're figuring they're going to either have to quit altogether or maybe merge with a larger practice, go into what's called an accountable care organization, which is just another name for a very intrusive HMO that gives all kinds of incentives to deny or delay medical care.
Boy, and then as I'm sure you're so well aware of, too, we have listeners, people that are listening to us in Canada, people who are listening to us in the UK and other places, and they've called up and told us their stories, Dr. Oren, about waiting, a mother waiting for a hip replacement for a year because, of course, it was considered elective and they didn't have any beds, and, you know, that's how the healthcare system is. And while there are some good doctors in Canada, it's getting to them and getting to the beds. Do you think there's a fear, as you were saying, the reaction from some of your colleagues, that a lot of people will just be driven away from this? A lot of really good doctors will say, you know, I've had a good living, I'm going to move on from this because I don't want to deal with now these changes and these mandates and ultimately what they're going to do. Will we see that?
Well, about half of the doctors in some surveys have said, yeah, that's what they're going to do. And you say, well, we're not going to believe it. They're really not going to do what they said they're going to do. We can look at the UK, and the number of physicians before socialized medicine was cut almost in half by 1971. So doctors did leave medicine, or they left the country. And I think that's going to happen here.
Yeah, I agree. I agree as well. What would you like to see happen now that, I mean, we're in the thick of this? You saw what happened with the House. There's still a lot of pressure to pull things out, and if not completely get rid of it, to at least pick it apart. Even the president said that he was willing to work on that. What do you hope happens here?
It should be repealed. It should just be repealed. I can't find anything good in it. The best thing that people, the most popular thing, is this pre-existing condition, which, you know, which really isn't insurance if you force insurance companies to cover that at the same premium as everybody else. So it just really can't be salvaged. It gets to none of the problems that have caused our current cost spiral, which the most important one is third-party payment of everything. The insurance company pays the provider rather than the patient. So the patients and the doctors are really driven apart by this insurance company between them, and neither one of them has any incentive to try to economize.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, we'll see what happens, because there's certainly an outcry, and I still believe the voters, that's what we saw with the midterm elections. But the more we continue to get these premium increases, and I think that part of it is a lot of people, and you know this, I'm sure, from patients and whatnot, Dr. Orient, that people don't really understand how it affects them until the day it does, until they get a crazy premium or something doesn't make sense. Do you think that's right?
Right, or until their insurance company says, yeah, well, I'm sorry, we're out of business, or their doctor's office is closed, or they find they have to apply to some bureaucracy to find out whether they're eligible, or they find they have to report to the IRS, all kinds of things, so the IRS can determine whether they have done their duty of buying insurance for other people's health care.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Dr. Orient, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. We'll talk with you again sometime. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night. All right, so you can tell that this is somebody who knows her stuff and has received a lot of accolades in her career, and says that she's a voice for the patients and for the physicians. That's the group that she's a part of, and is very, very concerned with the government play here and the fact that just flat out get rid of it. You can't pick it apart because there's very little in it that's worth saving. So there you go. Remember, you can always send us your thoughts at americatonight.net. You can also get to us on Facebook and Twitter through americatonight.net.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you're serious about playing college football, give yourself the competitive edge with the National Underclassmen Football Combine. The NUC is the longest-running underclassmen event and the most respected combine and football camp in the nation. Specifically designed to give athletes early recruiting exposure, there's no better time than now to compete in the National Underclassmen Football Combine. Call 888-NUC-MVP1 or go to nationalunderclassmen.com to find out more.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Not all protein supplements are created equal. One World Whey is the first cold temperature processed, 100% all natural, unrefined, bioactive, grass pasture raised milk whey protein. Far from being another ordinary protein supplement, One World Whey is a full spectrum nutrition power food in and of itself, providing overall life building benefits that touch virtually every human's life that other protein supplements don't deliver on. What are the benefits? Boosts the immune system, anti-aging properties, helps detoxification, helps reduce body fat, excellent for building lean muscle, increases energy levels, enhances the feelings of youth, sports performance, exercise recovery. Who's it for? Busy people, hardworking executives, students, teachers, active seniors, people recovering from illness, office workers, construction workers, and high-performance athletes. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Each and every Tuesday here on America Tonight, Stephen Shohat joins us from Hollywood. Yeah, he's an insider. He is. He's written a cool book, Hollywood Stories. It's a great read. I know I say this every single time he comes on. I feel like I'm his agent. But he also, I mean, he takes these Hollywood tours. He knows the landscape. He really does. And it was a big day in Hollywood very early in the morning. It's interesting because at night you close things out in Washington with the State of the Union. And early in the morning, though, it was all about the movies. We could discuss real reality and fake reality, but there were some interesting things that I think came out of the awards. You know, you can always talk about who got snubbed and who's right there. Like the 12 Academy Award nominations for, check this out, we're going to play a little bit of it before we go to Stephen, The King's Speech. Take a listen.
We need to relax your jaw muscles, strengthen your tongue. And you do have a flabby tummy, so we'll need to spend some time strengthening your diaphragm. Simple mechanics.
Fine.
Jack and Jill
went up the hill.
Went up the hill.
So, best picture, best director, best actor. Interesting movies, I think, that were chosen. And I saw some of them. Social Network was another one. We'll get to that in a second. But, Stephen, it's always a big day when they do the Academy Awards, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when they nominate 10 movies. Who can keep up with them all? I've seen 7 out of the 10 so far, so still got 3 to go. But yeah, I guess the The big surprise today, if there is a surprise, is Christopher Nolan not getting nominated for the Inception, for directing Inception, and people think that's a snub or a conspiracy or something like that. But it's probably just a collective taste. I mean, there might be some resentment because of his success. It kind of is similar in a way, I guess, to Spielberg, who didn't get nominated and win till I think he was 47 with Schindler's List. And so maybe I think Christopher Nolan's about 41, so maybe he has a few years to go.
Does that happen a lot? I mean, is it politics? It's about politics, right?
I don't know if it's politics or if it's just, like I said, a collective taste. I don't know if people are getting together in a room and saying, let's snub this guy or we don't like this one. I think it's just a bunch of people who might react similarly to the same thing. It might seem that way. But I don't think there's a big conspiracy theory. And one thing about, the politics of it, you just don't know. I mean, you had, Terrence Howard campaigned heavily for his award for Hustle and Flow. Monique didn't campaign at all for Precious. Monique won. Same with Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. He campaigned like crazy. Sean Penn didn't do a thing. Sean Penn won. And Mickey Rourke didn't. So, you can go back and forth with these things. There doesn't seem to be a pattern to it. It's different every year. But I'm glad the King's Speech got 12 nominations, though.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. I love that. I love The Fighter. I'm not so high on The Social Network, actually. I'll tell you a movie I really loved that didn't get nominated at all. It's called The Concert. And it was a foreign film. It's about this group that passes themselves off as the Bolshoi Orchestra. It's a very funny movie, and it's also a Weinstein produced movie, but it didn't get any attention this year. But it's an interesting crop of movies, and we'll have to see where it goes. There's certainly some influence to get The Social Network elected as Best Picture. I mean, even in Entertainment Weekly, I noticed they described the King's Speech as unhip, whereas The Social Network, is obviously the hippest thing around, or at least presented that way. So it'll be interesting to see how the Oscar voters go on this.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, since you said The Social Network, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great, but we have a little snippet of it. We want everybody to hear it in case they missed it. Let's roll The Social Network.
You must really hate the Winklevosses.
I don't hate anybody. The Winklevi aren't suing me for intellectual property theft. They are suing me because for the first time in their lives, things didn't work out the way they were supposed to for them.
Yeah, there you go. And that's the whole thing where he had to pony up money. Zuckerberg had to pony up money, and the whole idea of, did he steal the idea of Facebook? I mean, here's the thing. This guy just gets bigger and bigger, Stephen. Zuckerberg is just in control of the world.
He does, and of course Facebook gets bigger and bigger. But Zuckerberg, he said some things about that movie that first of all, they made it seem in the movie like he was trying to win this girl by creating Facebook. And he said, I was dating the same girl before I Facebook was created that I'm dating now. Second of all, he said that the lawsuits, which are a big portion of the movie, was such a little portion of his life and such a little portion of the Facebook experience. So they had to find, like any story, the dramatic turning point to tell it on, or to tell it with. But the thing about it is that the problem with that movie to me is there, you don't like anybody.
I mean,
The King's Speech, you really like the people. The Fighter, you really like the people. Or you have emotion. There's no emotion in this movie whatsoever. Nobody to connect to, in my opinion. I mean, and the other funny thing to me, Kate, is that here's the Social Network, and, it's kind of frat boyish to a certain extent. I mean, they have frat boys in it.
Sure.
And they're showing parties and things like that, and it's PG-13. And here's The King's Speech, which is obviously a classy movie, but because The King has some some, you know, frustrating moments, and he lets out some, you know, bad language at some points. It's an R-rated movie, and mm-hmm. and if you, I can't believe that you know that. I mean, The King's Speech to me, I don't know. It just seems so much classier, and now. Harvey Weinstein is planning apparently to re-edit The King's Speech and get rid of some of the bad language and make it a PG-13 movie so more people can see it during Oscar season. Now, that, I don't know, that could backfire on him or it could lead to a wider audience. But I mean, he's – and the director Tom Hooper, he had no comment about that whatsoever, so you wouldn't think he would be too happy about changing the cut at this point. But that's why they call him Harvey Scissorhands, because he cuts things. So
sometime we're going to have you come on and we're going to talk about the Motion Picture Association and the whole rating board. Boy, I saw a great documentary on that, and I'm sure you have some thoughts on that too. Hey, you mentioned The Fighter. I want everybody to hear a little snippet of The Fighter.
You got your confidence and your focus from O'Keefe, and from Sal, and your father, and from me. Dickie's a junk bag.
Hey.
He's a junk bag.
Why am I the problem? I'm his blood. I'm his family. I'm the one fighting, okay? Not you, not you, and not you. I know what I need.
And you need Dickie?
I want Dickie back.
Yeah, and you know what? It took Mark Wahlberg a while to get that movie made, didn't it? That was a hard one to get made.
Yeah, he had, the real Mickey living in his house, actually, so he could get everything to be very, very authentic. Yeah, it was a Mark Wahlberg's really doing well right now with Entourage and I'm forgetting the name of that show, the crime show, Atlantic.
Oh, yeah, the Atlantic City show, Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, Boardwalk Empire, yeah, and The Fighter. The thing about that is that Christian Bale got nominated and Mark Wahlberg didn't, and it goes to show you, in a lot of these movies, what Academy voters do look for, again, you're talking about collective taste, is a showy performance, but you can't really have a showy performance like Christian Bale unless you have a straight man is the right word, but a sort of low-key performance, in this case Mark Wahlberg, to go alongside that. And Christian Bale experienced that when he was sort of the straight man to Heath Ledger as the Joker. And he said, you know, he's given performances like Mark Wahlberg before, and you don't get that kind of attention. And that, I mean, you go back when they made the movie Titanic, Leonardo DiCaprio didn't want to do the role of the character Jack, and James Cameron said, you know, I know what you want. You want to do him with a hunchback or a limp or something to make him showy, but it's mm-hmm. a lot more difficult to play your nice Jimmy Stewart type role than it is to play one of those, you know, more deformed or whatever you want to call them characters. But that type of character, whether it's Rain Man or Elephant Man or something like that, tends to get more Oscar voter attention, at least it has over the years. But you know, you can really appreciate the low-key acting that Mark Wahlberg did in that film.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, we only have a couple of quick minutes left. I'm going to switch gears on you because I know we were going to talk about Jack LaLanne. Jack LaLanne, wow, that guy, he like lived forever. He had 10 lives. Until the other day.
Yeah, 96 years old. Mm. Hard to imagine him as a sickly kid with a sugar addiction who admitted to trying to kill his brother with an axe at one point. And he said, my brother was so relieved I was too sickly to really put any strength into it. And then at the age of 15, he went to hear a lecture from a health nutritionist named Paul Bragg, and it turned Jack LaLanne's life around, and he started eating differently. I mean, I don't want to say people with sugar addictions are normally homicidal, by the way, but he started eating totally differently and obviously became really into fitness and started teaching people at his high school and became the captain of the football team. And then, of course, eventually he parlayed that into a television show that was on for 34 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, he always had some problems on the show. Like one time, you know, he was talking about this processed food. All right, are we running out of time?
We're running out of time.
Okay.
Save that story for the next time, though. But that was excellent stuff and what you told us about how who knew he was a sickly kid and then look at what he turned out to be. Stephen Shohat, we'll pick it up again next Tuesday right here on America Tonight. Thank you.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects. It's safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Jump back to the State of the Union, and we're going to call this odds and ends. The Oscars in the morning and then late at night, the State of the Union. And for the Oscars, all total, and I did mention this, but I'll say it again, The King's Speech had 12 nominations, True Grit, 10, and then you can pick it apart from there and go through. The Social Network had 8 nominations, all totaled. You know, Michelle Williams was there for Blue Valentine, the movie that she was in. And The Kids Are All Right, another movie where Annette Bening and Mark Ruffalo are both nominated in that one. And Julianne Moore isn't nominated for an Oscar whatsoever. And that movie is starting to get a lot of buzz. And Annette Bening already got a Gold Globe, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes that can be the forerunner to the Oscar. And here's a little snippet of The Kids Are All Right.
Your mom and I sense that there's some other stuff going on in your life. We just want to be let in.
What do you mean?
Are you having a relationship with someone? You can tell us, honey. We would understand and support you.
Look, I only met him once.
What do you mean, once?
Did he find you online?
Wait, who did you meet once?
Paul.
Paul, who's Paul?
I met him with Joni.
Why was Joni there?
She set it up.
You forget the setup. Who's Paul?
Our sperm donor.
All right, that kind of gives you a little glimpse into what that's all about. By the way, for Best Picture, and Steven mentioned this, you have 10 pictures, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, Winner's Bone. I think you saw almost all of those pictures, didn't you, Matt? What did you like the best of all of them for Best Picture?
Wow. I think
that's tough.
It is tough. Black Swan was, I thought, though, out of all the movies, I thought the one least deserving of all the hype that it's been getting was True Grit. And I know a lot of people will probably disagree with me, but it was a good movie, but I just didn't feel like it was as great as everyone else kind of made it out to be. And I don't know if maybe it's just I didn't appreciate enough. Maybe I'm not familiar enough with the older version of it, but I just think it was a good movie. It wasn't a great movie, and I thought there were other movies that were better. I thought The Social Network actually was a better movie than that. I thought Black Swan was a better movie. The Kids Are All Right is a good movie, and I just felt like of the movies, True Grit was probably the least favorite of mine.
All right, True Grit I thought was good, but I agree with you. I can't believe it's getting all those accolades. He brings up Black Swan, actress in a lead role, Annette Bening, The Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman, Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence, Winner's Bone, Natalie Portman, Black Swan, Michelle Williams, I already mentioned, she's up for Blue Valentine. If you look at actor in a lead role, Javier Bardem, Beautiful, I think that's how you say it, Jeff Bridges, True Grit, Jesse Eisenberg, The Social Network, Colin Firth, The King's Speech, He Should Win, or James Franco, 127 Hours. Also, I love him in anything that he does. Actress in a supporting role, Amy Adams, The Fighter, Helena Bonham Carter, The King's Speech, Melissa Leah, The Fighter. She was in that. Haley Steinfeld, True Grit, The Little Girl, Jackie Weaver, Animal Kingdom. I'm going to give you a couple of more because I hate that when people talk about the awards and they don't tell you who was nominated. Actor in a supporting role, Christian Bale, The Fighter, John Hawkes, Winner's Bone, Jeremy Renner, The Town. I saw that. He was excellent in it. Mark Ruffalo, I mentioned him. The King's All Right. The Kids Are All Right. Rather, not The Kings. The Kids Are All Right. Jeffrey Rush, The King's Speech. For directing, Darren Aronofsky, Black Swan, David O. Russell, The Fighter, Tom Hopper, The King's Speech, David Fincher, The Social Network, Joel and Ethan Coen, True Grit. Original screenplay, probably you got Another Year, you got The Fighter, you got Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech. I love to give credit to the writers. I don't think they get enough credit. Anyway, that pretty much sums it up for you. That's your Oscar nods, and then there's all the other things in between. These are the nominations, anyway. The stuff, whether it's for original score or costumes or whatever it might be. It's funny because some people, I was reading some of the tweets that I got, some people were comparing Barack Obama's State of the Union, our president's State of the Union address, to the King's speech. I think it was kind of a far cry from the King's speech, and I haven't seen the King's speech. I've only seen a little of the snippets from it. But there were a lot of people who had different things to say about some of what the president expressed. And one of them, a couple of them were this. Representative Alan West, who is a retired Army lieutenant colonel, said that Obama did the right thing by mentioning American exceptionalism, because he talked about who we are, about America being the greatest country, still being the greatest country, and talked about that you know, we're the country that can do it. I think when he said that, it made me think the idea is we're not going to go down to the depths of what's terrible and what's wrong. We're going to build up. And that seemed to be the focus of the speech. Senator Dianne Feinstein from California said that she liked, now this is a big-time Democrat, she said the like she liked the focus on the economy, but she thought there weren't enough specifics on the debts. And I thought this was one of the funnier things that I read, and I actually heard him talking somewhere. Senator Tom Coburn, a Republican from Oklahoma, commented on Obama's Sputnik reference in response to the State of the Union address, and he said the president's biggest push was to advance an argument he's made several times, but he said every time that happens, the problem is that we've had countless Sputnik moments in recent decades, and it's nothing but a bunch of junk. It turns out to be nothing but a bunch of junk. Some things that I got from what the president said was a fact, and I mentioned this already at the very top of the show when we were talking to Ellen Ratner from Washington, D.C., is the fact that there was nothing about guns. There were hints that he might kind of gloss over it, use the whole Tucson thing, but that wasn't the case at all. No mention whatsoever. It makes sense. If I were writing the speech for him, I wouldn't put it in there, because from his point of view, why would you bring that up with the assault ban expired? Why would you even tiptoe in that direction? He talked about briefly Tucson and the seat being empty, Gabby Gifford's seat being empty, and she's a friend and colleague and all that. He talked a lot about education, the race to the top, and how that has to be a priority because overall we're ninth in the world when it comes to college degrees, and we need to be number one. He talked about what a good job Republicans and Democrats did in the race to the top, but not in Washington, the governors who have pushed to make this a reality. He talked about immigration, which I thought was shocking, that they need to deal with it. He's fully prepared to deal with the illegal immigration problems, and he pushed for really the anchor babies to stay to get education. There's no reason why they should be thrown out. It's not their fault. They didn't do anything wrong, that they're here in the United States pledging allegiance to the flag. And he talked about in 5 years, 80% of Americans will have access to high-speed rail, and that this is one of the things that could help to get people working, because there would be so many jobs created by this high-speed rail that would connect the country. And to that I say, hey, for the flyover states, I think it would be good. But where is this money coming from? And vetoing any bill with earmarks was very big for this president, vetoing any bill with earmarks. He flat out said that. So I think the two surprises were that one to me and the immigration deal. And, of course, tipping into health care, knowing how contentious it is. This is a little bit on the State of the Union. By the way, my grade for the president, the mood, you know, it was kind of, I won't say it was a lighter mood, but it wasn't that angry, bitter tone that you normally hear. Maybe it was because of the sitting together thing. I would say he gets a B minus. You might disagree, or you might think he gets a better grade than that. Send me your grades from State of the Union to americatonight.net.